Welcome to the DC Daily Drop, your one-stop shop for today's important news in DC movies, TV, and comics. Here are your hosts, Tom and Zach.
Welcome to the DC Daily Drop. I'm Tom, and I am here again with Jordan Valdez of Gotham News Network. We talked the other day about Legends of Tomorrow, and we are back talking about a DC spotlight. So if you haven't heard one of these before, we're going to be basically talking about all of his favorite and maybe least favorite DC stuff of all time. Does that sound fun, Jordan?
Yeah, sounds like a blast. Thank you so much for having me again.
All right, well, we'll jump right in. What was your first DC-related memory?
My first DC-related memory was probably some Batman the Animated Series VHS tapes that I had as a young kid. And now, I missed out on the initial run of Batman the Animated Series. I was born in 98. Okay. So I was born towards like the tail. Well, I got to see the end of the DCAU, but I didn't get to watch Batman the Animated Series as it aired. And I remember I had VHS tapes I would watch over and over and over again. I had like the first five episodes in production order, not airing order, of Batman the Animated Series. So I had like On Leather Wings and Christmas with the Joker and Pretty Poison and I had yeah, right. So those are, to this day, those are some of my favorite BTAS episodes. So I had those. I had a Robin's Reckoning VHS, and I believe I had, and then also one of my other first DC memories is I had Batman Beyond Return of the Joker on VHS as well.
That's a good one. So that's basically where your love started, would you say? Or did it take you a while?
Here's the thing for me. Those were my introduction to Batman, but what really made me fall in love with Batman was a mixture of two things that really made me the diehard Batman fan that I am today. It would be like I said, I watched the tail end of the DCAU. I did get to watch as it aired, so I got to watch the Justice League animated series. I got to watch Static Shock with the Batman. Have you watched that animated series?
I've seen season one. I haven't made it all the way through yet.
Okay, all right. That was when that premiered in 2004. My Batman fandom just took off from there. I adore that series to this day. And then Batman Begins hit in 2005, and that just accentuated it. And I saw that in theaters, so that was
wonderful. That would have been the time for you to. That's a good time to be a Batman fan.
Oh, absolutely.
From 2004, 2005. I'm sure that made a lot of new fans and introduced them to Batman and everything DC hero. So along those lines, is Batman? Who is your favorite DC hero? Is it Batman?
Batman is my favorite, and Green Arrow is a close second.
Okay. Well, I need to start getting different guests on. I think everybody's said Batman so far. I know Batman is popular, but
there must be a reason for it, right?
that's the cool answer, right?
Who's your favorite?
Mine's Superman.
Superman, okay.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, Batman's probably second. I don't have anything against Batman. It just seems like I'm only Batman fans are coming on here. I need to get some more people to root on Superman with me. But yeah, that's Batman's a great choice. But and Green Arrow's your second choice. Is that, you know, related to Arrow, or did something else get you into
Here's the thing, I did Arrow's what really got me, and that's not to say I wasn't familiar with Green Arrow before Arrow, but Arrow's what really got me hooked on the character, and then I started reading a ton of Green Arrow comics. So I went back and read the Longbow Hunters. I went back and read Green Arrow Year One. I've been reading the Green Arrow Rebirth run right now, and I absolutely love it. The Arrow show is what got me hooked on the character, really, and then I went back and became a Green Arrow comics fan as well, really. So.
Gotcha. And have you seen Smallville?
You know, I have not seen it in its entirety. I've seen episodes here and there. Here's the funny thing, though. So I don't know if you saw it, but the Batman and Bill Hulu documentary just that came out. So I got a Hulu free trial for that. And Smallville's on there, too. So I think I'm finally going to get a chance to go back and rewatch Smallville. So
I don't know if you're going to get through 10 seasons during the free trial period, but it's worth it for the show.
Yeah, that's what I figure. If I don't get through the free trial, then I'll probably get another month so that I can I can watch Smallville. But were you going to bring something up about Smallville?
Oh, I was just curious. You know, you won't get there till season six, but I was going to ask what your thoughts on the Smallville Green Arrow were.
Okay, Justin Hartley. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked him. I liked him as Aquaman in the Aquaman.
There you go.
Pilot. So
a little bit different character, but yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him as a Green Arrow. So I'll be curious to see what your thoughts are when you get there. You got a few seasons, but.
Cool. I will let you know for sure.
Yeah. Well, who is your, onto the other side, who's your favorite DC villain?
My favorite DC villain is the Joker. Okay. And I know that feels like, I feel like after I said Batman, I feel like that's a textbook answer for who my favorite villain is.
That's okay. I mean, it is the Joker. It's tough to argue against him as the favorite DC villain of all
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely. Yeah, anything, was it the Dark Knight or any, you know, just his entire history or?
You know, I love so many different interpretations of the Joker. I, of course, Heath Ledger's my favorite live action Joker, hands down. I love what he did. I love, of course, Mark Hamill, in terms of a Joker voice actor. He's at the top of the list for me. And that I go back to maybe the thing that got me hooked on him even more so than the animated series was, which I thought he did a great job in the animated series, but in Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, technically the same part of the same continuity. But I believe Mark Hamill's best, line reading for the Joker ever is during the flashback scene where he's showing Batman the slides of Tim torturing Robin.
Right.
And I think that his line delivery there is just, that is the Joker right there.
Yeah. Tough to argue against Heath Ledger or Mark Hamill for pretty much anything. And yeah, the Joker does have a massive history. I won't give you a hard time for that one.
Appreciate it.
So what is your favorite DC movie of all time?
Okay, I've got to split this to animated and live action just because I find it too hard to compare them against each other. For live action, it's The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I love the entire Dark Knight trilogy, but that's the one that I love the most. I'm a huge Catwoman fan, and I'm a huge fan of the Bat-Cat relationship. So the fact I love what they did with that in the film. I love Tom Hardy's Bane. I think the finale of that movie hits me every time. Like from when Batman and Catwoman kissed, when Batman gets in the bat and he says the line to Gordon about anyone can be a hero. Like that just, when I first saw that in theaters, that just started the waterworks for me, because I think that's just such a perfect finale to the trilogy. And I think that what I really praise more than anything else probably in those movies, what I praise Nolan for is that he finally gave Batman a happy ending. Like as much as I love like Batman Beyond and that version of old Bruce Wayne, and I love The Dark Knight Returns, those are versions of Batman that didn't wind up with happy endings. They really didn't. I mean, Batman, the DCAU Batman at the end of his career, he's estranged from the Bat family.
Sad.
Right. It's so sad. And the fact that Nolan gave him this really happy ending where he gets to be with Selina and he gets to, you know, he gets to not be Batman anymore. And I just think that's such a beautiful end to those films. So Dark Knight Rises for live action, and then for animated, Mask of the Phantasm.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you might go with Return of the Joker, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd mentioned it several times on this. Return of the Joker is probably my second choice for animated. But yeah, Mask of the Phantasm. And really, they're part of the same continuity, so you can watch that whole continuity through and get a full story. Oh, but yeah. I see Mask of the Phantasm is sort of Batman's origin for the DCAU, and then Return of the Joker is sort of the climax of everything. But yeah, Mask of the Phantasm for me, I think it's just such an emotional film. Like, Shirley Walker's score for it is amazing. I love the love story angle of it. I really like the aspect of it. To me, Mask of the Phantasm is the last time Andrea was the door to a life without Batman was still ajar for Bruce.
Right.
And then as soon as Andrea left him, that's when it closed. And then you get that amazing, like, it's an incredibly moving scene where Batman puts on the cowl for the first time and he turns around to Alfred, and Alfred, just, you see how much in shock he is of this transformation that he's seen Bruce make and putting on the cowl for the first time. So yeah, Mask of the Phantasm for me.
That's a good point. And that, you know, I never looked at the Mask of the Phantasm that way, but it sort of reminds me, now it makes me think of the similarity to Batman Begins, where, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy, where he's, instead of, you know, it's Rachel instead, and but he does get that second chance with Selina. And
with Selina,
some people don't like that because, you know, they want Batman to fight crime forever, which I get, but it's also, like you said, nice to have a happy ending.
Yeah, that's what I love about. Like, I understand people who come at it from the angle of, well, I want Batman to be everlasting, but the thing is, he is everlasting. Like, he changes the city. You see him inspire John Blake. You see he is the symbol of Batman is everlasting.
Right.
But it's just that Bruce Wayne himself gets to have that happy ending, and that's the way I come at it. But
yeah, and that's basically what Nolan's whole trilogy was about. So on to TV, your favorite TV show of all time.
All right. Well, again, I got to split it into live action and animated, right?
Yeah, you are allowed.
All right. All right. Cool. I appreciate it. So I guess I'll go animated first and Young Justice.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Young Justice, and I just think that the fact, first of all, I'm a fan of serialized storytelling when it comes to TV shows. So a lot of the DC animated shows, as great as they are, a lot of them were more episodic, and then I love the very serialized nature of Young Justice, and I think that they really created their own version of the DC universe that really I love so many of the things that they did with that show. Some of the new characters that they created, some of them taken from previous DC characters, putting their own spin on them, like Artemis and Aqualad, the new takes they did on them, also some of the villains that they recreated, like Sportsmaster, making him an amazing villain, and just all the threads that we got to see. I really like the version of the Bat Family that we saw on that, seeing Robin in season one and then Dick Grayson become Nightwing season two. All the stuff in season two. Now, I don't know, have you ever read the Blue Beetle comics where they had the Reach storyline?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's where it's taken from in Young Justice Season 2, which I didn't find out until after I watched Young Justice. I went back and read some of those, I think Keith Giffen, Blue Beetle comics. And they actually, as much as I do actually really like those Blue Beetle comics, Young Justice did adapt to that and made it even better. So it doesn't even just, the Blue Beetle comics really just focused on Blue Beetle and his interactions with the Reach. And then Young Justice took that into this massive Reach invasion in season two that incorporated the entire DC universe, which I thought was just brilliant. And so, yeah, Young Justice for me for animated.
Yeah, Young Justice is awesome. I don't have anything better to add than what you said there. Now for live action.
For live action, I got to go with Arrow.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. And I know it had its some road bumps, I guess you could say, in season three and four. I understand that. I still really enjoyed season three and four. But even looking past that, like, what they did in season two with Deathstroke was, I mean, it was genius. I said it right after season two, right after I finished watching season two, is that Manu Bennett's Deathstroke is my second favorite live action villain performance of a DC villain, right after Heath Ledger's Joker. And that's, I know that's a bold statement, but,
yeah, I never thought of it like that, but he might be my favorite DC TV villain of all time, so you know, I don't think that's a crazy thing for you to say, but yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he was incredible. I'm so glad he's coming back at the end of season five now. So but yeah, I loved him. I think back to the pinnacle of like DC live action television is the episode from season two, The Promise, where Slade comes back to Star City and he's in Queen Mansion with Moira, and I mean that had me on the edge of my seat the entire, I was like, oh my goodness, trying to figure out what was going to happen. You thought he was going to kill somebody. And yeah, I love seeing this version of Oliver, seeing his journey over the five seasons. I love what they do with the flashbacks. I think that I don't even think Deathstroke's been the only great villain in the show. I think Prometheus, you look at this season, has been incredible. So yeah, for me, Arrow takes the cake for live action.
Yeah. And it's just been so influential. Even if you've been disappointed in the last couple seasons, well, it's back with season five. And also, you know, look at how important it is for what it's launched in terms of that universe there. So on to comic books. Do you have a favorite book, individual book or an arc that's your favorite of all time?
I do indeed. I have a favorite. Here's the thing. Up until this January, I'd had a book for a long time that was my favorite. And that would be Batman Hush.
Okay.
And I love Batman Hush. I think Hush is such an amazing Batman villain, one that probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. Maybe just because he's such a recent creation, but I think Hush, just, I love villains that connect back to a hero's past. And I think that's what you got with, Deathstroke on Arrow as well. That's one of the reasons I love him so much. But yeah, Hush, I think just the idea of how he connects back to Bruce Wayne's past. I love how, and Jeff Loeb does it with all his Batman stories, really, how he's able to incorporate so much of his Rogues Gallery into a story pretty much flawlessly. I love, with some of Loeb's earlier stories, he didn't really get to use the Bat Family though, but because Hush takes place within the mainstream continuity and it's not at the beginning of Batman's career, like, Long Halloween and Dark Victory were, he gets to incorporate the Bat Family, so all the members of the Bat Family throughout Hush as well. And then I love the Bat-Cat stuff in Hush as well. So yeah, Hush was my favorite Batman comic for the longest time. And then this January, Tom King went and wrote something called Rooftops. Have you read that yet?
I haven't yet there yet.
No. You have not? Okay. I don't want to spoil anything for you. But yeah, he wrote this brilliant, it's in Batman Rebirth 14 and 15. And it's this brilliant, story, about Batman and Catwoman. And basically just their love for each other. And I think Tom King writes the two of them so well. And one of the things that I love about Rooftop so much is the idea that it plays off of how Catwoman is the one person who is able to get, Bruce has this compulsive need, I feel like, to fight crime. And Catwoman's the one person that can sort of get him to put that to the side for a moment and just take a moment to enjoy himself, you know, and do something he wants to do rather than what he has to do. And I think that's what Rooftop's captured so well. And it's also a brilliant mystery. Like, I'm always, Batman at his heart is a detective. And I think that, Rooftops is a really great Batman detective story as well. So it's only two issues and it doesn't even have its own like trade paperback. It's being published with I Am Suicide with that arc. So I feel like it's hard for me to call that like my favorite Batman graphic novel or whatever because it's packaged with I Am Suicide, which is also a great arc. But, you know, Rooftop specifically is my favorite Batman comic story of all time. But if you're talking about like one big, like a big epic story, like that's actually collected as one collected edition, then yeah, Hush for me. So
awesome. Yeah. I don't know about Rooftops yet, but definitely Hush. I mean, can't argue with you there. Do you have a DC guilty pleasure? Something that, you know, everybody says is good. You know, it could be season four of Arrow where everybody says, oh, it's terrible, but you like it. Is there something like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, you bring it up. Season four of Arrow, I guess I'll go with that because I recognize that it wasn't the quality of season one and two and even season three. But yeah, both season three and four of Arrow got a lot of flack and I still thoroughly enjoyed them. So I guess that's a good thing to go with is Arrow season three and four.
Yeah. And I think three especially got more flack in retrospect. Like it just sort of got lumped in together. Kind of like how Batman Forever gets lumped in with Batman and Robin. Like, okay, you know, it's a step back from one and two, but it's not, you know, it's not all the way down.
And maybe I'll say something else blasphemous right now, as long as we're talking about DC guilty pleasure, and as long as you brought that up. They're certainly towards the bottom of my list of how I would rank the Batman films. I still kind of like the Schumacher films, both of them. And it's because the way I see it is, I see those films as just a modern interpretation of like Batman 66 and the Silver Age comics. Right. When I look at them like that, I find them quite enjoyable, to be honest. So I'll throw that in as another one.
I agree with you there. I don't about how they were meant to be, you know, live action versions of that. And I think Forever does have a lot of good stuff in there. I don't know that I'd necessarily agree with Batman and Robin. That's okay. But I think Batman and Forever does have a lot of really good stuff in there. Yeah, even though, I mean, there's some's not very good, but it does have a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I'll say about Batman and Robin, though, the one thing that I think that is actually, I won't even say most stuff in that movie is great or anything, but the one thing that I will actually say is great is the Bruce and Alfred interactions.
Yeah,
that whole storyline of Alfred dying, I think, is actually it was really well done. So I'll say that.
It almost doesn't fit in with the movie because it's like really serious, really emotional, really heartfelt, and then the rest is like, you know, it feels like kind of a cartoony, you know.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, so it feels like that's what I feel like they were going for most of the movie was, like I said, a very campy Batman 66 or Silver Age feel, but then they had that Batman Alfred Bruce and Alfred interaction there. And yeah, that was just really heartfelt. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're on question 8 now of 10. So we're
okay.
Close to winding down. What is one DC thing that you dislike that you would just don't like or would like to change?
I mean, the fact that I just offended Batman and Robin. Like that.
Not many options left.
I really, even the stuff that like, I like most things. That's the thing for me is it's hard for me. It really is hard for me to find DC stuff that I don't like. If I had to pick something, Allicity.
Okay.
I defend season three and season four of Arrow because I like most of it. But yeah, that's just one thing that's one thing that I don't like about it. So
now I'm not necessarily totally against Oliver and Felicity being together. I am against that being the sole focus of the show. Are you against both or
one? Well, or here's the thing for me is that I'm just, I see Green Arrow and Black Canary as Endgame. So that's the thing for me, especially like when you look at it, when you look at what Rebirth's doing with the two of them in the comics, like that's what it is for me. So it's not that I do listen. Here's what I'll admit: Stephen Amell and Emily Bett Rickards have great chemistry with one another. They really do. It's just that for me, I would have preferred if they went with they had Oliver and Laurel together instead of Oliver and Felicity. So
I'm the same way. Yeah, okay. I definitely would have liked to. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
They wrote themselves. They wrote themselves in a place where they really can't do that. I don't think, but you know, I still love Arrow. So you know.
Obviously, yeah. That's just one thing about it you dislike. If you could play any DC character in a TV or a movie, who would you want to play?
As an actor, okay. Well, I don't have any acting experience, but I guess okay. I would say just in terms of my age, I feel like I could pull off Terry McGinnis, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm a little bit older than he was, I think, in Batman Beyond, but you know, I feel like I could maybe that's one thing that I feel like I could maybe. I still don't have any acting experience though. So somebody have to train me how to act, but yeah.
That's a smart choice because you're choosing Batman, but you don't want to have the pressure of playing Bruce Wayne.
Right.
That's a really smart decision for your acting career.
Yeah, can't live up to Christian Bale and Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck. So you know, I know that going in, but there's never been a live action Terry McGinnis. So even if I suck, it might be the worst Terry McGinnis ever, but it's also the best Terry McGinnis ever because only Will Friedle's ever played him before, and that was animation, so it doesn't count. Well, it doesn't count in terms of, you know, it counts. I don't want to say it doesn't count, but
in terms of live action, so. That's a smart way to lower expectations. And then the final question, number 10, if you were put in charge of DC Entertainment in terms of everything, movies, TV, comics, what is the first thing that you would do?
First thing I would do is I would greenlight a live-action Batman TV series.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the first thing I would do because I feel like we have Gotham, and I actually really like Gotham, but there's no Batman.
Right.
So what I want is, and we haven't had one. We have not had a live-action Batman TV series since the 60s. I mean, and look at how many Supermans had. And I know you're a Superman fan. And I think that's great. I really like a lot of these series. He's had the George Reeves series. He's had the Superboy series. He's had Lois and Clark. He's had Smallville. He's had now sort of technically he's got Supergirl.
Krypton.
But it's like Batman hasn't had. I know he had Birds of Prey. And actually, have you ever seen Birds of Prey before?
Yes.
You have. I think that is the hidden gem in the history of DC live action television. I think that series was excellent and way ahead of its time, and I think that Dinah Meyer's portrayal of Barbara Gordon was phenomenal. But not to get too off track, but yeah, I would love to see a Batman, like a serious take on Batman, done in live action,
like on the CW.
I'd be fine with. I really think that they've got a great track record now with the four shows that they do have with Supergirl and the Flash and Arrow and Legends and upcoming Black Lightning as well. So I'd love, I don't know how many DC shows are they going to take on, you know, but, if they were willing to take one more on, I'd love to see CW do Gotham or, I mean, I'm sorry, do a Batman live action series or throw it on the new DC streaming service.
Yeah.
You know,
full throw it on there with Titans. There.
So the only place I'll say don't throw it is NBC because first they canceled Constantine and now they canceled Powerless and I'm pissed. So,
Yeah, it's weird. Batman hasn't been on TV a whole bunch, I guess. But, I mean, he's since 89, he's had a pretty consistent presence in movies. So, and also in animation, too. You know, he's almost always has his own show or Justice League show where he shows up or something like that. So, there's plenty of Batman, but yeah, there hasn't been many live action TV stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd love to see that, and I think you can do with TV, and that's one of the things I love about the Arrowverse shows and about all the DC TV shows, whether it be Gotham or whatever. You can do long form storytelling that you don't get in the movies, though. I mean, I adore the movies, of course, but you don't have the ability to do these long term storytelling. Like look at the Flash TV show for an example. Look at how Flash is one of the best after I would say Batman and Superman. Flash is one of the best rogues galleries in the DC universe.
Yeah.
And look at how many we've been able to see already over the course of three seasons of the Flash TV show. Look at how many, and it's because of how many hours there's been of Flash, of the Flash TV show.
Right.
When we get a Flash live action movie, and I'm very eager to see it. I think Ezra Miller, I really like what I've seen of him as the Flash so far. But one thing that movie does have going against it is that it's not going to, we're going to see one, maybe two, maybe if they really go wild, three villains, unless they do the rogues. But even then, like, you don't get to see in movies the same number of villains that you see in television. Like television has the ability to do that, the ability to, have more characters and have them develop over the course of a long period of time. Movies doesn't have the chance to do that. So I want to see Batman get that treatment. So.
Yeah. Interesting thought. All right. Well, you are out of the spotlight now. Hope it wasn't too hard.
Alrighty.
Try
it. No pressure, you know. Didn't feel too much pressure.
All right. Well, you are at on Instagram and Twitter at BatFanJordanV.
That's right.
Links in the show notes. And definitely check out Gotham News Network on YouTube where you're tell them a little more about the Gotham News Network.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a show I started back in March. It's a YouTube show. We do weekly reviews of the Arrowverse. Of course, those will be going on hiatus for a little bit because, well, I don't know when this is dropping, but whenever we're not obviously not going to do reviews when the Arrowverse shows aren't airing. But yeah, I do weekly Arrowverse reviews usually. I do reviews of DC movies. I did one of the Judas Contract movie not too long ago. I do reviews of the movie trailers as they come out as well. And I'm going to try and start doing a little bit more comic reviews because I haven't really done many of those, but you should expect to see more of those probably this summer. So yeah, a lot of fun stuff over there.
Awesome. Well, definitely check that out, guys. And thanks again, Jordan, for coming on. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. And make sure to check out DC Daily Drop on Twitter, Facebook, and DCDailyDrop.com. Drop by tomorrow for more DC news.